Hallelujah, glory, 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 welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Christian Growth Center, the exploding word and worship center of the New River Valley. I am Pastor Todd Hallinan, and I am overjoyed to bring the word of God to you this morning. I am so glad that you decided to join us online this Sunday and each and every Sunday. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to minister a word of truth from Scripture, not from me, from Scripture, that is going to speak to your faith. I want each and every person under the sound of my voice today, and it goes beyond the sound of my voice, to have that mountain-moving faith that Jesus spoke about. And we're going to get to that. But right now, I just believe right now that if you will open your heart to receive this word today, it can make an impact on your life. I don't care how long you've been walking with God, your faith walk. I believe that we're going to have a key presented today that is going to unlock some door of our faith that you haven't tapped into as of yet. And by doing so, it's going to allow you to walk through this world with confidence and boldness in Christ and making a difference wherever you go. Amen. Father, I just thank you for this day. This is truly a day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it as we listen to the words of God jumping off these pages and into our heart and being planted in that good ground so that we can see it come to fruition in our life here in this earth. In this earth. Amen. Glory be to God. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about, do you want mountain-moving faith? It's a choice. Do you want it? Before we get into that, though, I just wanted to kind of recap last week what we did. We were talking about fear, and when you fear something, how you are hastening that very thing that you are fearing upon you, right? When you fear something, I mean, some people fear going outside of their home because of what could happen out there. Some people fear getting in their car and driving on the highway because of what could happen. Well, sometimes, according to Job, remember 3:25, it says, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." So when we fear things, we can hasten those things upon us. We talked about that in detail last week. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about instinctive fear. Remember, several weeks ago, we talked about instinctive fear and how instinctive fear gets that adrenaline going and gives you that ability to outrun that bear, right? I'm not talking about that fear that can save your life. I'm talking about demonic fear. I'm talking about turmoil of mind fear. I'm talking about dread, that type of fear. Amen. That when you fear it, that very thing that you are fearing, you are causing to come upon you. So what can save us from our fears? You know, last week I said we're going to move over from talking about fear and talking about faith. What can save us from our fears? That is the question. Some of you saying the answer under your breath already, right? Well, Jesus, I know Jesus can save me from my fear, and that's true. That is true, but it's not Jesus alone. And some of y'all are like, whoa, wait a minute, I thought Jesus was all we needed. That's true, but it requires something from us, right? If it was just Jesus alone that would calm our fears, then there would be no fear in the world whatsoever, because Jesus has come and done all that he's going to do. He said, it is finished. But now it's up to us. We have to make a choice. Our faith in Jesus can deliver us from our fear. But it takes us and our faith, and our faith in what he did for us on the cross. Amen? Amen. That's enough about fear for today. Some of y'all are still dealing with some fear in your life. But I believe we're going to share something today that is going to put you over the top. It's going to make a difference if you'll listen. So what exactly is this mountain-moving faith that I'm talking about? Well, we're going to look at two passages from the Bible that talk about this very thing. The first one's in Matthew 17. If you have your words, your Bible, turn over to Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to be sharing out of the King James Version today, this morning. As you know, I go between King James, Amplified. Sometimes I'll throw a Message Bible in there just to get a different angle on the same scripture. But this today I'm going to be sharing out of King James. King James, Matthew chapter 17, verses 19, and I want to go down probably, well, just two. 19 and 20. It said, and we're talking about mountain moving faith, okay? I want you to get a revelation of mountain moving faith in your life today. So Matthew 17, verse 19 said, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? We're going to talk about what they're talking about here in just a minute. They're talking about casting a demon out of a boy. Verse 20 says, and Jesus said unto them, listen to this verse, because of your unbelief, mark that word, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. What is he saying there? Because of their unbelief, they were not able to cast that demon out. But he said, if ye shall say to the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, it shall be removed and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, we're going to go into this in detail, but the second reference I want to make to this mountain moving faith is found in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 22, and I'm going to share a couple verses out of there, 22 and 23. It says, Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, verse 24, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now let's unpack these two verses. Man, there's a lot. There's a lot in these two verses, and I'm going to do my best. Holy Spirit, help me out to unpack these two verses so that you can see what it takes to have mountain-moving faith that Jesus is talking about here. Now listen, he's not necessarily talking about a physical mountain, right? He's not saying take Buffalo Mountain and cast it into the Atlantic Ocean. Okay, when Scripture talks or uses that phrase mountain, if it doesn't refer to a specific mountain, a specific place, Mount Moriah, whatever. I mean, if it doesn't say that, it can be, and this is according to rabbinical teachings, it can be talking about mountains in our life, mountains of circumstance. In fact, some of the rabbinical teachings say it refers to most difficult or stupendous or incredible things, okay? That's what it's talking about. It's talking about a mountain in your life. And I'm not talking, we live here in the Blue Ridge Mountains. I reference them all the time because I love them. They're beautiful, beautiful place to live. But people from the Rockies, when they look at the Blue Ridge Mountains, they're like, those aren't mountains. We got mountains. And they are, man. I've been to the Rockies. They are just majestic the way they just come up out of the ground from nowhere, it seems like just flat as can be, and then bam, there's mountain is right there in front of you, and the peaks and the jaggedness of them and the immense size of them, they are not comparable to the Blue Ridge Mountains. They call these foothills. But we love them. We call them mountains, and I call it home, and it's just wonderful to be here. But anyways, we're talking about a mountain in your life. How do you remove mountains out of your life. Mountains of fear, mountains of doubt, mountains of unbelief. That's what we're talking about today. Well, first I want to give you four words in these two passages to consider. Four words in these two passages that are very important to understanding mountain movement faith. The first one is unbelief. The second one is doubt. The third one is faith. And the fourth one is say. Four words. Four simple words to consider. And we're going to examine these four simple words and how they can impact your life for mountain moving faith. And how they're intertwined. They're not independent of each other. They're intertwined. So first, let me give you a definition of unbelief. This is out of the Webster, Noah Webster Dictionary, 1828. I know I reference that dictionary a lot. But here's that definition of unbelief. Infidelity. Now, that's not talking about like spousal marital infidelity. It's talking about infidelity to God. We could put it that way. Infidelity. Infidelity to the divine. And I'll explain that. Infidelity. Disbelief of divine revelation. Disbelief of the truth of the gospel. This is unbelief. Rejection of Christ as the Savior of men and of the doctrines He taught. Distrust of God's promises and faithfulness. All unbelief. It can also be described as weak faith or little faith. That's interesting because some of the other translations actually say that. They don't say unbelief, they say little faith. Well, we just read in Matthew how Jesus said that the disciples were incapable of doing something, in this case, casting out the demon, right? The father brought his son to the disciples. This is when Jesus was up on the mountain, and they were unable to cast this demon out of his son. You know, this demon was constantly called it a lunatic, right? Anyways, I'm not going to get into lunar and all that. But it was causing him to throw himself into the fire and self-mutilate and all kinds of crazy things. Well, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, couldn't cast that demon out. When he came back down from the mountain, he's like, why couldn't we cast this demon out? And then that's when Jesus shared what he did about that. But it said, because of your unbelief or your weak faith or your little faith, you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. In fact, a few verses earlier, he says, he talking about to his disciples, said, they are a faithless and perverse generation. That word perverse means stubborn, turning away from what is right or good. They're faithless and perverse, and that's why they couldn't cast this demon out, because of their unbelief. And then let's talk about that word doubt. That word doubt. It's interesting that word doubt means to fear. We just talked a lot about fear. To fear, to suspect, to fill with fear, apprehension, dread, horror, or danger. It also means, that word doubt also means to vacillate between two opinions or two thoughts. What do I mean by vacillate? Go back and forth. You can't make up your mind. Remember Jesus talking a lot about being double-minded? Well, doubt causes you to be double-minded, to go back and forth between two opinions. And we cannot vacillate. Or let me give you an example of this. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans is a tremendous book of the Bible that Paul wrote. That it's interesting because, all the other epistles of Paul, he had been to those places and was writing to them about something that had gone on or was going on or that he had taught or just wanted to reinforce. But when he wrote Romans, he had never been to Rome. So with Romans, he's kind of like starting from the very beginning and gives you just lays out the gospel and finishes up. So anyways, just that was a side plug for the book of Romans. I've been encouraging people to read the book of Romans and just dive into it and just soak it up. But we're at Romans 4, chapter 4, verse 19. And it says this, it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He's talking about Abraham, and we're talking about doubt, not having doubt, right? Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He staggered not. He didn't waver. He didn't vacillate. Abraham didn't vacillate when God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Even though, considering his age, his old age, and the deadness of his wife's womb, he considered the faithfulness of God. And he did not walk in unbelief. We're going to continue talking some more about that. He didn't vacillate. You see, it doesn't take great faith. This is a key here I want you to get. It doesn't take great faith to move mountains out of your life. Sometimes it just takes the absence of doubt and unbelief. And that's what I really want you to get today. The absence of doubt and unbelief. What do I mean? What do I mean by that? Look at Genesis. Turn all the way back to the very beginning. And let me use the analogy of darkness and light. When I say the absence of doubt and unbelief, faith is sometimes just the absence of doubt and unbelief. Let me just read Genesis 1:1 here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. You see, all darkness is the absence of light. When you introduce light into darkness, the darkness flees. There is no more darkness. Have you ever been in a room or in a scenario where it's just, you can't even see your hand this close to your face? Anybody ever been there? I've been there. But it is amazing that all it takes is, if you just had a tiny little matchstick and lit that thing up, it's amazing what that tiny little piece of light can illuminate. It pushes the darkness out. See, darkness wasn't created. Darkness was there, but light was created and introduced on the scene, and the darkness fled. And you could take that, you could apply that to good versus evil. I mean, evil is in this world, this fallen world, evil is the natural way. But when you introduce good, evil must flee. I mean, we're called to be, listen, Christians, we are called to be the light of the world. We introduce our goodness of Jesus within us to the world, and that light casts out the darkness, casts out the evil. There's a whole sermon right there. I can't get into that right now. We have to do that one again some other time. So, what the analogy here? When you introduce light, or let me say it this way, darkness prevails in the absence of light. Faith prevails in the absence of doubt and unbelief. Oh, that's good right there. Y'all need to write that down, I'm telling you. That is good. What am I trying to say? Mountain moving faith is not unattainable. In fact, you don't even need much faith. You only need the amount equal to a grain of a mustard seed. Turn over to Luke. I got to give you the book before I give you the chapter. Luke, that is the third gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Let me read verses 18 and 19. It says, "Then said he," who? Jesus. "Unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it." Listen, why did Jesus choose this particular seed in this particular reference? Listen, every word in this book is important. Jesus didn't say anything that doesn't have some value. And so we need to read it that way. So why did he choose this mustard seed? Well, he said it was the smallest, it's one of the smallest seeds of any herb, but yet it produces one of the largest herbs in the garden where birds can even come and light in. Why did he use this particular seed? Because I believe it's because it doesn't take much faith to produce tremendous results. It doesn't take much faith to have mountain-moving faith. It just takes the absence of doubt and unbelief. So what must we do when we want to cast those mountains down in our life? What mountains are you facing in front of you, like those, like when you fly into Colorado there, and you're going into the airport in Denver, and the plane is coming, and it's flat as can be, and then all of a sudden these huge mountains appear right before you. What mountains are appearing before you right now in your life? Is it a mountain of sickness? Is it a mountain of lost relationships? Children, parents, friends? Is it a mountain of debt? Is your finances, are they a mountain in your life? Is it relationships? Is it relational? What mountain? Is it fear? What mountains are you facing today? And how can you remove that mountain out of your life? Remove the doubt. Remove the fear. Remove the unbelief. And that little bit of faith as a grain of a mustard seed will be applied. And then you can say, believe or have faith. Don't doubt or have fear. Doubt and unbelief are the roadblocks to your faith, which is where the victory is. Doubt and unbelief are keeping you from the victory in your life. But then you also have to do something. You have to say. Just like we read in Genesis, right? Darkness was on the face of the deep, and God said, "Let there be light." You have to speak. We've been talking about speaking to our storms, speaking to these mountains in our life. You have to say something. You have to say with your mouth. By speaking to them, we are rebuking them in our life. Or better yet, we could say restraining them. In fact, Thessalonians, I believe it's 2 Thessalonians, talks about how even the Antichrist right now is being restrained by the one who will restrain. And until that one who restrains is moved out of the way, he cannot be revealed. He cannot fulfill what he basically is going to fulfill in the earth. I believe the church is the one restraining him. And when we are removed, taken out of the way, if you believe in the rapture, which I do, when we are raptured out of here, that is when he is going to come on the scene with power, with miracles and lying wonders and signs. But until that day, we are here enforcing what Jesus died to give us. Amen? We have to speak. I mean, did Jesus ever cast out a demon just by looking at him, giving him the old stank eye? No, he spoke. He spoke. Be ye removed. Get out. He rebuked him by restraining that demon in operation in that boy's life that was afflicted. Mountain-moving faith requires us to say it. Remove doubt, remove unbelief, then speak words of faith. What are words of faith? Words according to the promises that God has put in His book and left for us, inspired by God, written by men, written down and recorded for us. And if you do this, if you remove doubt and unbelief and speak words of faith, then you will operate in mountain-moving faith. How do we remove these things? How do we remove doubt and unbelief? Well, the first step to change in any area of your life, you can apply this to any area of your life. The first step to change is to recognize that you need to change. Some people don't even know they're operating in doubt and unbelief. They don't recognize it. They don't know. The first step is to recognize it, to know it. Ask yourself, am I in fear about this? Am I in doubt about this? Am I in unbelief? Am I vacillating between two different opinions about this? Just ask yourself. Ask yourself. The difference is expecting versus excluding, if I can put it that way. When we are operating in mountain-moving faith, we are expecting those answers to come. But when we're operating in doubt and unbelief, we are excluding those answers from coming. Do you see the difference? Then you find out what the Word says about your particular mountain. Now listen, I know you just... We call it the microwave society, right? We want answers, we want them now. And I know, I'm the same way when it comes to some things like that. I want to know the answer. You want me to tell you the answer. I could do that as the Lord leads, but I want you to find it out for yourself. You can't operate on my faith. You have to find it for yourself and operate in your own faith. And that requires some digging. That requires some intentional time. Anything worth having requires intentional time, right? We have to be intentional about it. So, that's my encouragement for you today. Remove doubt and unbelief and watch your mountain-moving faith in operation. Remember we talked about don't give attention to the mountain because that is just causing it to grow and be bigger and bigger in your life. What you give your attention to, we talked about that. And then here's a caveat. If you go back to that scripture we shared out of Matthew, it says there in verse 21, I believe it is, some of these are only removed. Some of these mountains, we could say some of these mountains are only removed by prayer and fasting. It just takes discernment. And I believe when you spend time, right, it says if you lack wisdom, ask, and He'll liberally give you wisdom. If you lack wisdom about a certain thing, if you're vacillating between two different opinions about something, ask God. I believe the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of you, if you're born again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, You just need to get right with God, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, invite Him into your life, invite Him into your heart. And then you can tap into the wisdom of God when you lack wisdom in an area. So you can ask Him, Lord, and be honest, talk to Him. Listen, I talk to Him like I do my wife or my best friend or anybody. Lord, listen, man, I've got something going on here. I'm between these two opinions. I don't know which way to go. I believe the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you will lead you, if you will open this book, and He will lead you to the answer, and then you can apply what the Word says to that. Remove that doubt and unbelief. Remove that vacillation. Remove that fear, that dread, that horror, that terror. And when you remove those things, then that faith is a mustard seed, is all you need to move the mountain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I hope you're encouraged today. I'm encouraging myself. I want to encourage you. I want you to encourage yourself by getting into the Word of God, seeking out His promises for your life. And as you do that, recognize that there's some doubt. There's unbelief in this area. Recognize it. Then remove it and allow faith to take hold. That mountain-moving faith, the size of a mustard seed. And just think of that analogy, right? Darkness is going to prevail in the absence of light. Faith will prevail in the absence of doubt and unbelief. I love you all. If you don't know Jesus, today is the day of your salvation. All you have to do is ask Him. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you. And He will. And just receive Him. Receive all that He has for you. But if you know Jesus already, you have access to these things. And I hope you're encouraged today. And I hope I've provided a nugget for you to chew on to increase your faith and give you access to mountain-moving faith in your life. Thank you for joining us. Again, Christian Growth Center. You can go to our website, cgcchurch.com. Check us out. We're live 10 o'clock every Sunday. Like and follow us on Facebook. Check out our YouTube channel, Christian Growth Center. We've got other videos there, encouraging videos. But thank you for joining us today. I don't take it lightly that you've put time aside to be with us here today. I hope you're encouraged. I love each and every one of you. We'll see you next week.